When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right, action-packed show. A lot of Taycan electric car talk. Lots of Shelby.
Some Ford v Ferrari stunt cars.
And Shelby Daytona, Cobra Daytona stuff. Take a deep dive. Those cars have always been super interesting to me and always a little off the beaten path. Everyone knew about the Cobras. Everyone knew about the Mustangs. Everyone knew about the GT40s, but they wouldn't know a lot about those Daytonas.
The Daytonas.
Interesting piece. We'll get into that. First, betonline.ag, NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest, everyone. Halfway through December, every game has playoff implications. Visit betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups in Week 16 have the Rams at San Francisco. You don't know football because you're a gearhead, but that's a must-win for the Rams. So I hope my Rams can win. Buffalo, New England. God, I don't know. Maybe it's a must-win for both of them. Oh, New Orleans at Tennessee. These are good games. KC, Chicago, Green Bay at the Vikings. That's another great game. Baltimore, Cleveland. That's my lock. It's an easy lock. 35-10 is what I say. We've got $500 in rewards to give out to five listeners each week and $5,000 in a season-long charity contest. You can join the conversation at #sportsnetchallenge.com. Use the promo code PODCAST1. Get a 50% sign-up bonus today at betonline.ag.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Stuff and booze. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
Yeah, you heard Dick. It's time for month 8 of Adam's monthly nut. December shipment includes a Pinot Protector wine condom. We at Corolla Drinks practice safe drinking. A man show beer stein commemorating a great TV show and a time less woke. You'll also get 3 samples of super fat keto nut butters to stave off the need for a burrito at lunch. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wines and a shrimp diviner. The perfect gift to show someone just how much you love them. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's monthly nut.
Get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but they're going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in to the last episode of the year. What a decade of this with Matt the Moderator DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
The sensible and fair Matt the Moderator DeAndrea.
Oh, thank you.
Over there. That's why we get along. He is sensible and he is fair. We got some Ford v Ferrari cars to talk about. Mm-hmm. We got the new Porsche Taycan, I guess you'd say. EPA rating to get into. I'm driving the big Acura QX
Infinity.
Infinity. God damn it. Didn't Acura have a Q or a
MDX?
MDX.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had a something. Anyway,
everything with
cars.
The crossover has like an X in it now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Infinity. It is the X, it's Infiniti QX80. It's a big, luxurious truckster with diamond stitching.
With heated and cooled seats.
Oh, can I tell you how happy my bum is, man? Me and Mike went and spent the weekend in Oxnard, man. Mike pulled up to my house. I turned the heat on his seat. Mm-hmm. I said, let's go to Oxnard, baby. We were trucking back and forth to Oxnard the whole weekend in that big boy.
Yeah, he said he drove it. He said it was great.
Yeah, he's
loving
it. Well,
we just popped in it now, and the one feature that I really like is the infotainment has two screens. It's split screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you load up CarPlay to the top screen, usually you have to go back to change your radio stations. It's completely below it. So now you can see all your radio and all your CarPlay at the same time.
Yeah, and
you can only do it in a truck that big or like a Ram or something.
We threw Sonny in the back. Natalia is going to take her and her friends up to the snow over the holidays. So it's all good in the neighborhood. I went down and looked at some of the Ford v Ferrari cars that they used in the movie, which had this weird thing where
you have to tell me about it because I don't like movie cars.
Nate was like,
because they're junk.
Nate was like, hey, they got some of those cars. They're selling some of those cars. You want to check out some of those cars? And I was like, I can't. I'm going to Oxnard tonight to do two shows.
Yeah.
And I'll be there this whole weekend, so I don't have time. And he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, where are these cars? He's like, they're in Oxnard. And I'm like, they're in Oxnard? Yes, they are. I'm like, oh, okay, well, now that's different.
Yeah.
So Mike and I and Sonny went out there on Saturday before the show. All I did was like leave my house like a half hour early because here's a weird thing. I said to the Porcelain Punisher, Matt Fondelier, I was like, how far is it from my house to the place where the cars are versus how far is it from my house to the club? And he said, he checked and he said, it's the exact same distance.
Okay.
I said, what are the chances this thing's going to be the exact same distance? Now, the club to the place where the cars were 5 miles apart, but from my house.
Yeah, just sort of a
same difference.
Yeah.
So went over there and looked at them. Some good stories, some interesting stuff. GT40s, P3s, Ferraris. They're movie cars, and movie cars they're sort of like when you walk up on the Batmobile, mm-hmm. you just go, "What?"
Yeah,
you can tell it's a steering wheel from a Galaxy that was just cut, where they just cut like 10 inches off it, made it some weird butterfly thing, and then just took electrician's tape and wrapped it. Everything just kind of looks like, what? I mean, that's how movies are.
Yeah.
That sets are made of Luan. They cover them, make them look like stone or whatever, mm-hmm. but they're just, everything is that.
And there's oftentimes different versions, like here's a car just for exterior shots, and here's a car just for interior shots, and the stunt cars with the roll cages and bracing underneath and all kinds of.
And the camera cars where the guy's driving from the back while they had that car. Tanner Faust has driven that while the two stars are sitting in the car.
Yeah. And it's funny because the Peterson Museum had like the Jag, the crazy Jag, orange Jag supercar from one of the 007 movies. I think at one point maybe a Batista drove it. And you walk up on it in the museum. It's this beautiful, bright metallic orange, and it's got a couple of these like orange, like round stickers mm-hmm. just on the paint. I'm like, what's that? They're like, oh, that's where they drilled holes to mount cameras and stuff into the body of the car, and they just put orange stickers over there so you wouldn't notice it. And you're right, from 10 feet away with a camera on it, like you would never notice it had stickers for the exterior shots, but in the museum, it sits there, and they're like, there's a bunch of round stickers on the car.
It's interesting, they had some Porsche, I guess 910s or 906s or 904s. I think 910s, maybe. Find me a picture of a Porsche 910. Anyway, Subaru powered.
Oh, okay.
Not because it was air cool or the configuration or anything, just didn't have enough room for the LS motor in there. And so the Subaru made a good power plant for that. For that car, yeah, is that a 910 we're looking at? Yeah, kind of a cool piece that Porsche was doing back then. Lots of cool stuff, but yes, when you get up on race cars, you know, we put the real Ken Miles car. I mean, I've walked up on that, popped the deck and popped the hood and looked at the engine, poked mm-hmm. your head in, opened the doors, blah, blah, blah. The real Ken Miles GT40, even that looks a little funky down. Like when you get right up on it's like it's the fit and finish isn't great. Right. You know, stuff is utilitarian. Stickers were just stickers. You know, ignition and fuel switch and cutoffs are all done with those weird stampy sticker things from the 60s that were plastic. Oh,
the label makers.
Yeah. Label makers that embossed everything.
Yeah.
And it all just seems pretty catch as catch can. It had to work and it did work. But when you walk up on a Singer Porsche, Singer Porsche, you walk up on a Singer Porsche, you walk up on one of Jonathan Ward's Icon or Ring Brothers car, or even interesting for sale, Spyker.
Yeah.
You walk up on a Spyker, you look at that thing, you go, oh, wow, this is nice. Oh, look at that interior. Oh, that is sweet. Look at the quilt. Oh, that's a good decision they made there. You walk up on the race car and it's like, this seems scary.
Yeah. Seems difficult to get in and out.
Right.
I don't know what you were thinking here.
And you walk up on a movie race car and it's like the next level.
Yeah, hackery.
So the stuff's cool. Stuff's worth something and somebody should definitely buy it, but don't buy it
because you're thinking you're going to be rolling around town in that car and you're going to channel your inner Ken Miles. It's not meant for that.
So that's us went to the Shelby Museum.
Yeah, that Shelby Museum tour that you did that Nate edited and cut in a little bit of the like Christian Bale interview that you did as well. That's up on YouTube. He sent it to me. I put it up on Facebook, and it's up on my YouTube channel as well. I'm sure it's other places, but it's up on my moderator YouTube channel.
It's a nice little 3.5-minute encapsulation of the story of Ken Miles and the GT40. And if you want to see the car, this is where to see the
Where's this guy's museum?
It's in Golden. It's either in Golden or it's not Boulder. I think it's in Golden. I don't know, Chris. Where is it? Golden?
The Shelby Museum? Cold? This guy?
Boulder? It's probably Boulder. Boulder. It's like on the way to Golden.
The Shelby American Collection, they call it.
Okay. Yeah. It is. I've been to some car. Like, I went to. Me and Mike were like in Fresno and I was doing two shows Friday, like two shows Saturday. And like on a Saturday, we went to like the Fresno Car Museum.
Yeah.
And it's like. You just walk through that place. It's like, that's a 1980 BMW 320i.
Yeah.
Sunroof delete. Yeah. And you'd be like, okay.
I'd go to Costco and see that.
I knew a chick in high school named Esty who drove one of those. But, okay. Well, this one only has 71,000 miles on it. Like, oh, wow. You don't see 14-inch rims every day.
Yeah.
That's
71,000.
That probably put that shit up on Bring a Trailer, and you're talking almost $6,000.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And then you'd move on to like, oh, what is that? A 914.6? No, it's just 1.4.
Yeah.
It's the small one.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. You just keep looking. It's like walking through a 70s parking lot.
What's the motivation?
Is like
somebody never sold their cars, or somebody was like, I really want a car museum, but I just can't afford any good stuff.
And then every once in a while, they'd be like, that's a wagon that the fire department used to use in the turn of the century. You know, it's like, oh, okay, it's got a wooden wheel. Wheels. You go to the Shelby Museum in Boulder, it is not that.
No.
You are like...
But doesn't seem like a lot of fanfare at the Shelby Museum. It wasn't like roped off on a podium with lights around it. The guy was like standing next to it, and you're like, how much is it worth? He's like, I don't know, $28 million maybe.
25, 35, I don't know. He fired on up the Cobra Daytona that they had. They had a couple Cobra Daytonas they had. Had some really significant GT40s. The museum is so chock-a-block filled with awesome Shelby stuff and Ford stuff that it's like you're like walking and he's like pointing at a 289 Cobra, and he's like, this won the USAC championship in 1966. Yeah, okay, I get it. Just keep walking. Like, it's not even, it's not a Daytona. It's not a GT40. Like, they have five or eight of the most significant Cobras in the world there. Yeah. Ones that won the championship with Bondurant driving, all this kind of stuff. And he was like, yeah, I don't have time for that one. Let's go look at the GT40s. Like, it's insane how crazy those cars are. And from an investment standpoint, I've always said the GT40s are undervalued. The Daytona's undervalued in the crazy collector car world. And they got those cars, and they bought them right.
How big is that museum? How many cars are in there, do you think?
I suspect, I think I asked, and I think the answer was 10,000 square foot.
Okay.
It's not huge. It's serviceable. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's not massive. Sort of one thing that's nice about it is its size. I would say that there's probably 18 to 25 cars, but they're
a couple of $100 million worth.
But yeah, they're all cars you want to know about.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there just for the sake of in there. It's not Ken Lingenfelder. God love the guy, but it's not like this is a 308 that's got low miles on it, 79, you know, $6. Like, there is none of that. It's all crazy history and crazy stories.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, there's an overall picture.
Super, super impressive stuff. No kits, no nothing. And if there's a 289 Cobra street car in there, it's the first one, or it's the one Steve McQueen owned, or it's not just
that. Something really significant.
It's not just like, hey, it's a 289. It's clean. It's $1 million. That ain't in there. There's a story. So I don't know how you do it, but the guys are real nice. Just go check it out.
Whose collection is it? Who funds the museum? Did we look this up at one
Miller.
Point?
It's Larry Miller.
Oh, yeah, Larry Miller, but not that Larry Miller.
And it's Bill Murray who runs the thing.
That's right. That's why it was ringing a bell. Larry Miller owns it. Bill Murray runs it.
Mike August had to repeat that to me like 28 times.
Yeah.
Like, Larry Miller, Bill Murray. And I'd be like, okay, these are common names. These are common names, Mike. Yeah, but come on.
Come on.
He's firing up the Daytona. That car number 13. He's in the museum. Cars are crazy.
That sounds good.
God, it's right in the museum. Firing that thing up. the thing about the, it took the whole, it's crazy. Max Pata.
Yeah.
A Shelby Daytona sold at Mecum or Russo Steel. Could have been Mecum. And it sold like 8 to 10 years ago. For like $7 million or $6.7 million.
$7.25 million.
Oh, all in on the
way off.
At Mecum?
I was way off.
2009.
I'm so far off.
Yeah.
Way off. No one believed me.
That's why I had to correct you.
Yeah. 7.2. Was that number 13? Was that the same car?
No, number 26.
Number 26. What is the history of that car? So I remember going 10 years ago, like $7 million, a lot of money for a car, but what's that car worth now?
I don't know. You think it's doubled?
Oh, it's I think it's more than doubled.
Yeah. Like when we were at Goodwood Revival, and Pete Brock was there. They were celebrating Pete Brock, and they had a bunch of the Daytonas there. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys were kicking around then a few years ago, $14-15 million numbers.
Yeah, but now the movie's out.
And now the movie's out.
And the GT40s are 30 or 40.
Yeah.
I think we've gone over 20 or we're about 20.
I would think so. Mm. Yeah, I like the Daytonas. I always thought they were the cool-looking version of it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I wish I could have talk my dad 10 years ago into buying that car.
Yeah.
It'd be worth $20 million today.
Sell a couple trumpets or...
What?
So this is the first... The one that sold was the first of two new cars built for the 65 season. It was raced a total of 9 times that year, scoring class wins at Nürburgring and at Reims.
So that was the European when they went and won the Europe. They won the manufacturer's championship in Europe, I think.
Yeah, so it secured the world championship for Shelby after its racing career is prominently featured in the motion picture Redline 7000. It was owned by Bob Bondurant for a while.
So, but that's a cool car because it was one of the Shelby factory cars, not later when they had the privateers running them because they were doing the GT40s.
But I'll think of the guy's name who was in the Shelby dock, but his son was in the dock. He ran them.
The British kid.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I forgot.
He ran them in Europe. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a privateer, but it wasn't, and it was Bondurant driving and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a Shelby car, but it wasn't, Shelby wasn't with it, like going to Daytona
right.
with it and stuff like that. Now, I would probably reckon that one that ran Daytona and especially ran Le Mans, that thing didn't run Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
If that thing had ran Le Mans, like the one that ran Le Mans and won its class in Le Mans.
Yeah. It's big, good
money. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
25?
Big money.
I can't think of that kid's name. The team ran it over there. He was in charge. He's a sort of a name you guys would recognize.
Yeah, yeah. And I forgot
he has
his
a
name,
sort of regular kind of English name. It's like Ken Miles or something. But anyway, that was the story about they didn't want to ship him back. Shelby didn't want to pay for
yeah.
them.
All right, dump them in the
I'll ocean. Buy you 30 seconds with Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times.
Fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. All right, what's that guy's name?
Could you give me more stuff? No.
Alan Mann. Henry Mann.
That's right.
Alan Mann.
I don't know how the internet works, but whoever ran the Daytonas in Europe in the 60s was Alan Mann.
I just went to your doc, Shelby
you
American,
go.
On IMDb.
Oh, love it.
Scrolled through the names.
You are you for simple acts like that. Yeah, and by the way, if you want to go to Chassis, Chassy, we are shipping Blu-rays out of the Shelby dock, which have a lot unseen footage of races that
yeah.
did not that was unearthed and no one has ever laid eyes on. So get that. And Uppity is now finally shipping.
I tell you what, you know what? Another, I think if you hurry, you can still get it in time for Christmas is we got a couple of those movie posters. We got the Shelby and the 24-hour war.
Yeah, people love those. They love those Shelby posters.
That's a nice little hang them up in your garage. In your man cave.
I said
in your kitchen.
Really high quality posters. And I said a weird thought, which is some of the posters I sign, and I'm like signing over Shelby's head, and And the Shelby famously signed 1,000 glove box flaps, right? The number, the 13 Daytona and Boulder is what? What's the history on that Daytona, Max Banner?
So this was the second coupe built, and it competed 9 FIA races, Le Mans, Reims, Goodwood, Taurus, et cetera.
Oh, it's Le Mans, too.
Yeah, won 4 FIA events, won Le Mans in 64.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, that's why it's in that museum.
Yeah, Taurus Trophy, Daytona, Sebring. And it was driven by Dan Gurney, Bob Bondurant, Maurice Trintignant, and in 64, Gurney and Bondurant clocking over 196 miles per hour on the Mulsanne Straight took first place.
That car's worth a lot.
That's a cool
of money.
Car to have, yeah.
So that one's even better than the one.
It is, yeah. And that mofo probably bought that thing in 02 for, $2.7 million or something like that. Damn it. See?
Le Mans car.
That's
Let's go to Le Mans. What are we doing? What's our 2020 plan?
We got to go to Le Mans.
Let's go to Le Mans. Have Mike August sell some shit over there so we can go.
All right. I want him driving that microbus.
The microbus. We fixed that thing with a Sharpie. We rented a black rental. It was like a front-wheel drive Volkswagen bus.
Diesel.
Yeah. And right-hand drive. And we were in a parking garage by the airport or something and kind of scraped the side. And we didn't notice until we got all the way out to the house at Chichester.
Airbnb, yeah.
Yeah. And it was raining. And then I think you buffed it out with some toothpaste before we found more stuff in that garage.
We had to turn it in, but we had some damage. So we had to go full MacGyver.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any rubbing compound or anything. So
You
use toothpaste.
But I don't know who rents a black van. Like, you never see that. They're all, like, you know, white or something, or maybe silver. And so we just hit it with a Sharpie. And when we returned it, it was pouring rain. And the people, like, kind of looked out the window. They're like, yeah, looks okay to me. We were like, let's get out of here. It's your problem now.
Yeah.
We just went out. It just had, like, Sharpie lines, like, 2 feet long all along the passenger side, which would have been the left side. But
Mike was driving like an insane man in that thing. But I got to tell you, sort of like when I told you last show or so that I got the Nissan Mini truck and
yeah,
I'd load that thing up with as much, many 10 sheets of plywood and just bottom out the axle in the back and just drive that thing everywhere and it's mm-hmm. just bulletproof. Just drop a gear going up the Coldwater Pass. And we had, I don't know, seven dudes, camera equipment, everything in that minivan, yeah. Everything. The key, it's funny because I'm going to make a very valid and interesting and cogent point here. Electric cars have torque on demand, mm-hmm. and that's what we like about them. That's the feeling, the speed, the whatever. And diesel has a lot more torque. And you couldn't take six, seven dudes, you know, we had camera crew, equipment, everything, pile six, seven dudes into one vehicle that had a 1.6 or 1.8 liter four banger in it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 at a certain point. Guys, we're looking at the picture. But the point is this. We couldn't pack all those dudes into that vehicle and all that equipment and have under a 2 liter four banger if it wasn't diesel.
Right.
Because it wouldn't be enough torque to get moving.
Yeah.
If it was a high revving straight, you know, four cylinder, yeah. We just couldn't get out of first gear.
Right.
Or we couldn't get out of the parking lot. But that thing scooted all over Europe. Mike drove like an asshole.
Over sidewalks, medians, people's.
Yelling at neighbors.
Gardens yelling at people.
You're going the wrong way. Fuck off.
The lady goes, he's going the wrong way down the road. And this nice little old British lady, she's like, excuse me, sir, you're going the wrong way. He goes, shut up. He looks out the window.
He's
like,
yelling.
Shut up.
We're 2-0 in World Wars. We're 2-0. He's yelling at everybody.
Back to back. World War
oh, then that guy like tried to flag us down.
World War champions.
There's that guy that was like flagging us down, and we wanted to go straight, so he like ran right through the guy. Like, you know, Dawson was there, and I don't like hit the flag or something. He had like the orange flag. He was waving. He's like, "This road's closed. You can't go." Mike's like, "But if we just pretend we don't see him, he's dressed in head to toe orange."
The reason why people don't like Americans abroad is because of Mike August.
It's Mike.
So when we were done with the whole 4 or 5 days with that minivan going all over the place, hill and dale, yeah. And curbs and whatnot, that thing had 5/8 of a tank.
Yeah, we didn't
full
use
of diesel.
Of that.
We didn't use half a tank.
Mm.
Crazy. I mean, that is nutty.
And that drive to the airport and back is far.
You know, Chichester,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it was a haul.
So speaking of mileage, we got the Taycan.
Yeah, so the Porsche, everyone's saying the Porsche electric vehicle, the Taycan or the Taycan, like everything's great about it. The performance is great. The handling's great. It's the best driving electric. And people are like, okay, what's going to be the flaw? And if there is a flaw, it's the 201-mile range. And the somewhat inefficient battery in it. I don't really want to compare it to a Model 3 because the Model 3 is so much less expensive. But
the Tesla does.
But the MPGe, the miles per gallon equivalent, is like half that of the Model 3. And the charging, I know when we met with them in Monterey and we did the tour of the prototype car, it was called the Mission E at the time.
Oh, the Porsche Taycan, yeah.
The Porsche.
Yeah.
And they were saying it's going to be a super fast charging and it's going to have 300-mile range. Well, the infrastructure for the super fast charging isn't really there.
They're always like
we could do it, but nobody can do
it. They're always like, it'll charge fully in 40 minutes. And then I go, fully? 40 minutes? Fully. 40 minutes. Like, you go from no charge to full charge in 40 minutes? And they go, yep. And I go, so, okay. So I can just go home and plug this thing in and it'll get fully charged in 40 minutes. And they're like, yes, if you have a 700-amp panel and a four-phase electrical system that's good for 240, yes. And then you'll go, well, wait a minute. I'm not a defense contractor. I just live in a house.
Why would I have that?
And they go, oh, well, in that case, it'll take 9 hours. And I go, okay. You know the part where I kept repeating it? Like, I just kept repeating it.
Yeah.
If you worked
at a nuclear power plant, then you could get that thing charged.
You drove it into one of the generators. Right. So, no. But also, anytime someone goes, you'll get a full charge in 40 minutes, and the answer is not at your house, you won't.
Right. And by the way, which means not anywhere publicly either. You're not going to go to the Santa Monica Mall and plug it in. Like, there's no...
They have that thing where they're going to put a supercharger station in, you know, in Baker, California.
And then they do that thing where you can't use the Tesla ones.
You go in, you have a cup of coffee, you come back, you got a full charge. It's like, all right, except for now.
No.
That's not going to happen. I do like the charging platform cookie sheet that you pull onto. I don't know if we're there yet.
Right now we're just seeing that technology like on our phones and stuff. I can go home and just slap the phone on the pad and it charges.
Right.
You know, even through the case, even through my phone case.
So the Taycan is what compared to the Model X?
It's roughly half the MPGe, I guess, is the proper term. But, you know, and it's going to cost more to charge. The battery's not as efficient. But I don't know. It's like, if you're buying that car, do you care? Like,
no.
It would have been nice if it was 250, 280 miles. Like, there isn't really anything out there.
Well, what's the EPA when they say 201? What do they mean?
So our EPA ratings here in the U.S. are different than in Europe. Europe still does sort of the two-cycle, which everybody out here complained about. The two-cycle was just like freeway and city. But now we have to do a five-cycle. We have to do like on and off the freeway and the city and the stop and go and the whatever to get it more accurate because so many people were complaining about the accuracy of
right. Max Zapata, what's the range of the Tesla 3?
So the long range is 310 to 325.
But what's the EPA rated? If that is that, then that's that. Yeah, but what I'm saying is the EPA,
the like
could
miles
be round,
per gallon,
could
there's
be,
like an MPGe.
Well, what I'm
so
no,
they
what,
have three.
What?
They have three different versions. But the EPA rated all electric range of the standard is 240. The long range is 310.
Okay, so 201, not as impressive.
Not as impressive. And the Jaguar I-Pace, I think it was 230 or 235.
I told you the over-unders are like 200.
Yeah.
If you can get past 200, you're good.
Which is funny because that's why we brought this up because it's 201 and I knew that 200 number was something we talked about before. But now 201, though, for sort of this price range and anything else out there that's electric, you know, like – Leaf and Bolt and Tesla and
Volt
I-Pace
and
I think the Volt's discontinued, but they're all over this number now.
Yeah, this is about prestige. This is about being the first guy on the block to have one. But as we say, I've been saying and will continue to say, 3 years from now, you're going to get this thing and it's going to have a 300-mile range and that'll be perfect.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you know, Mike and I were just going back and forth to Oxnard last weekend and we used up a lot of fuel. What I needed to do is when I pulled back up at 1 a.m. on Friday night, I just need, you know, if I'm driving the Taycan, I just plug it in and go inside the house, yeah. watch a little TV and go to bed, you know, and then repeat, rinse and repeat. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I needed. It's really, once the range gets to the point where you can go to Oxnard and back in an evening, then it doesn't really matter past that. So to get to Oxnard and back would have burnt up 150 worth of range.
Yeah.
Let's say the way Mike drives, all right? All right. So if the range is 200, I'm plugging it in before I go to bed. But you know what? If it's 250, I'm still plugging it in before I go to bed.
Right.
So even if it's 300, I'm probably plugging it in before I go to bed. So what's the difference? As long as I mean, I know what it is. You won't get to Santa Barbara and back from where I live. You'll just get to Santa Barbara and you'll have to do it. And I get that. But I'm saying, like, for me, for like the way I do things and how I drive, as long as I can just come in at night and plug it in, I'm pretty decent shape.
Right. And now we have mobile services, I think, that are popping up that'll deliver fuel and fill up your car.
All right.
Although I still think we should dig up the parking lot, put 200 gallons underneath.
Yeah.
And then just when you roll up in here, just have somebody walk out there and fill it up. And then the big tanker truck comes by once a month.
Yeah. God, I wonder what that business is going to look like with all the E. I wonder if there's going to be an E version of that business.
Yeah. I think that that all the mobile trucks that come to your house to fill up your car with fuel should be electric vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they should all just plug in.
Right.
Fill up and then come to your house quietly.
Right. And give you, ironically, the fuel.
Yeah.
Hit Geico.
Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Maybe you're doing some Christmas shopping, doing some holiday shopping, where you're going to add a bunch of things to that list. You can save hundreds of dollars to that list, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you'll do today. Go to geico.com.
Geico. All right. Go to adamcarolla.com. I'm doing live shows all over the place, so we can say hi when we're doing those live shows. Chicago. God, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Milwaukee. Chicago, Cleveland, Indianapolis. Cleveland.
Yeah. Go do that. What do you got, Motorator?
And you can follow me, all my stuff up on Motorator and social media. And then, of course, Chassis, the movies, the DVDs, the Blu-rays with the extra features, the movie posters.
So much there now.
All the good
really
stuff.
Filling out. If you're a car guy, just go to Chassis and check it out. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.